Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha eats.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 28, the St. Paul Pride episode of DeRusha Eats. It's Jason DeRusha. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for spending some time with us and our two, well, actually, today we have three incredible guests for you. Three powerhouse women making a real difference in St. Paul, Minnesota. One, the daughter of a founder, Melissa Silva, is running her family's business. It is a treasure of St. Paul, El Burrito Mercado. We talk grocery. We talk the pain that comes with change as she's mixing up the way her store does food service. Plus, you'll meet two women who met in Chicago working at Girl and the Goat. They've come back to St. Paul to open sort of a modern clubhouse with incredible food. Tara Coleman started with Hot Hands Pie. She expanded next door with Gina Mangiamelli to open really one of my favorite newer restaurants in the Twin Cities, Chips Clubhouse. So let's have some 651 love in this episode, number 28 of DeRusha Eats. Our guest is Melissa Silva Diaz, the owner and vice president of El Burrito Mercado. Melissa, so glad to have you with us.
Hola, hola. Thank you, Jason. It's good to be back. I haven't seen you in a while.
You're the first repeat guest on DeRusha Eats.
I feel very special. Thank you.
11 months. Well, I was.
It hasn't been that long. Wow.
I know. That's well. I started 11 months ago. I think okay. you were here
shortly
maybe,
after.
Yeah. Pretty soon. And it's because I love you and your leadership and your family business. And El Burrito Mercado is such a stalwart. You guys have been in St. Paul since your
1979.
Your mom and dad started it.
Yep. 44 years ago.
Crazy.
Yeah, 44 years ago this year, this July, late July, they opened their little 800 square foot tiendita, a little store with tortillas and canned beans and stuff. Were you around at that time? When did you?
No, I moved here in 2003, so I've been here for 20 years.
When did you first visit El Burrito? Do you remember?
Oh, well, it was before I moved here because I was dating my wife.
Okay.
So I remember coming. It's probably 20, 22, 23.
So you visited our existing location.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because 1979, when they started, they were across the street.
I was only four in 1979.
Right.
For the record, for anybody who might be thinking. Very young.
Yes, we were very young.
This family business, and you've just undergone a big change to how you're doing kind of the food service over there.
Yeah.
But have these years, since the start of the pandemic and move into inflation, which is probably inflation, staffing, those are some of the challenges now.
Big challenge.
Have these been the hardest years that you have been running the business?
They have definitely been the most stressful since I've been involved, which is, I mean, my whole life, but in a leadership role, you know, for many years
now. You took over what?
My parents. So yeah. I took over about 6 years ago, but I was already in the position of general manager, CEO for about 10 years now.
Got
so
it.
My parents were still involved at the time. And while we've definitely experienced our own kind of challenges, staffing has been really difficult, inflation and just readjusting and the stress around, you know, when it was during the pandemic, it was, you know, controlling the amount of people that came into the store, enforcing face masks and what every mercado and mall and retailer went through. And then the restaurant, it was, you know, we're open, we're closed. It's, you know, you can do takeout, you can't do takeout, you can come in if you have a vaccine card. And so all of that was really stressful. And then fast forward to being fully reopened, then it was the staffing challenges. And so having to get really creative with that.
Is your staffing an extra challenge? Because obviously being a Mercado, being in the District del Sol, you know, you have a lot of...
It's a specialty Mercado. It's a specialty restaurant. And so
you finding... Spanish-speaking.
You have to be familiar with the food. I mean, I've had non-speaking or non-Latinos work for us, and it's mostly people who... They're studying Spanish. They've lived in Latin America or Mexico for a number of years. And so very, you know, it's also bicultural. So, you know, really understanding the culture. So it's not just anybody can come in and learn it and work it because we have such a diverse customer base, which I love.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you have, it's all the way from... new immigrants that, you know, are looking for their foods that they're familiar with from Mexico or Latin America. You have generational families like myself and some, you know, even further along generation-wise that are still looking for the staple stuff that they cook at home as well. And then you've got non-Latinos that travel and have become more familiar with the food and also like, you know, lived there, studied there, come back and want the food and cooking, especially after the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of became a at-home chef type thing, which I love. And so it's interesting to see even a lot more shopping in our butcher shop, which always used to be just Latinos.
Right.
I mean, everybody's buying it now. So that's what I mean by like just it's
interesting because I think a lot of people just think, especially when you think of a specialty and I hate to say ethnic because it's such a silly term, but it is. But if you're a cultural specific store, people think, oh, it's all Latinos. It's all the same. But no, you got Abuela who wants it the same way your parents had it. And then you have new.
And then you've got millennials who are not cooking as much, want to come in, want to grab the food. They're familiar with it, but they still want that modern, kind of the trendier stuff. So
what an interesting challenge.
Oh, it is. It really is. It's fun. I love it. I'm like, bring it on. I'll try everything.
But people are probably more emotional about what they see and the way things used to be at El Burrito than you would be. And we know people get mad when Cub and Kowalski's and Lund's moves, you know, food from one spot to the other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're very opinionated.
We feel that way about, there's something about our stores, you know.
Yeah.
We want things to be where we want it, but we also want it to grow and be new and
And, you know, I think for us coming out of the pandemic, it was really being open-minded and thinking outside the box about how we want, what we want our business to be and keeping that true to ourselves and the traditional La Experiencia Mexicana. And so, but then also we want to remain competitive and we want to keep all these multi-generational and diverse group of people coming in. And so we remodeled the store. We painted, we redecorated. It looks beautiful. You need to come in. We got brand new floors. I mean, the floors were that building is since 1888. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know.
It was a Henley's furniture building and it had been there since 1888 in St. Paul. And so, it went through some major, what do they call it when they are trying to preserve the build? Something about
like
the building, but
they're
like restoration project through the city of St. Paul.
Huh.
So it was a major project in 1995 when they did this. And so the floor needed to be redone. It looks beautiful. We repainted, we redecorated, and we remodeled the restaurant. The kitchen was 27 years old, and we finally were able to get in there. My parents had custom built, you know, imagine your kitchen, if every all your stove and your refrigerator and your freezer and your microwave and everything was custom built in, you know how difficult it is to like switch out that equipment?
30 years ago.
Wow. And we did our best to get things repaired and so forth. But finally, we were like, okay, it's time. It's time for change.
That's where we'll pick up the conversation, the way you decided to change your restaurant and kind of the reaction you've had and how you're moving forward with that. Some big changes at El Burrito Mercado. And we will talk about it with the head honcho, Melissa Silva, as we continue on DeRussia Eats here on Drive Time with DeRussia. 421 DeRussia Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy. Melissa Silva is our guest, El Burrito Mercado. Before we took a break, you talked about making a major change to the way you run your restaurant.
Yeah.
A lot of people who've been to your Mercado know you had sort of an open cafeteria line right by the bakery area.
Yes.
And then you had a bar and a restaurant on the other side.
Right.
What did you decide to do and why?
So but when my parents started the Mercado at that location and opened the little cafeteria, it was meant for what we call comida corrida. So food that's meant to go. It wasn't meant to be a sit-down kind of restaurant. It was guisados, something that we specialize in. It's very popular and traditional in Central Mexico and in a lot of families, like my family. And as it grew and people needed more seating, we kept expanding. And then we added the restaurant, and then we added another expansion, and we added the patio, the kitchen not being able to keep up with all this. So every one of those steps required modifying at some point either the menu or certain things to be able to handle it. And fast forward to where we are now, it was time to remodel the kitchen to even try and serve the hundreds of people that come through El Burrito every day. You know, and we kept the menu the same. We added new things. But when we had a knockout the custom build that my parents did 27 years ago, we were able to put in all brand new equipment. We did have to close off the cafeteria style. So you can't order with the cooks anymore. Which they're fine with. They're kind of liking it.
The cooks are like, thank goodness, I don't have to talk to these people anymore.
Not every cook is a salesperson, you know?
So why you want to be in the kitchen?
Exactly. And so they get to focus on making the great food. And the cashier gets to still have the interaction. So they're still a salesperson. We still have bartenders and we still have a couple servers. Not fully staffed in the bar anymore because the idea is to become a little bit more of a self-order. So there's kiosks, which freaked people out.
Putting in a kiosk...
So if the cashier is busy and backed up, our thought is everybody's ordering from their phones or from a kiosk now. It should
just
be a big deal. Just go order
get a little
buzzer and you'll buzz. You do your little shopping and then you pick up at a window. It didn't feel like anything out of this world.
You didn't think it was going to be this.
I didn't think people were going to respond the way they did.
And how did they respond?
They were hurt. They were mostly hurt, like they took it personal, which then I felt bad because, I mean, this is my family. I'm not trying to hurt anyone or turn anyone away. And so we want to make sure everybody understands that there is still a cashier. You don't have to order from the kiosk.
You can order from a person.
You can order from a person. And if you still struggle with standing there and you need, or there's big families that come in, or you want to sit down and have that service. There are a few servers. Yeah. You know, it's not fully staffed to take care of a full bar, but there's that option. And you can also sit at the table and use an order and pay by your phone. So you enter the... There's so many options to order now.
Right.
We thought we were making this easier for people. I think I didn't realize how important it was for customers to see the cooking the cooking and the guisados in action.
It's interesting.
I didn't really have a way to work around that though. Not at the size that we're at now.
You're just too big.
We're too big.
Yeah.
Like I said, when we first started out, it was just meant to be a takeout window, basically. You know, like when you go to Subway or you go to any of those other you know, restaurants that you walk up to the window and you order and you take it. That's not what we are anymore. It's just, you know, thankfully to our community and our customers, they've kind of helped us evolve what the restaurant has grown into now, and we just couldn't keep up with the volume in the way that it was set up. So.
When people have been irritated with it, are you surprised how many take their complaints to the Google review or the Yelp or whatever?
Yes, I wish they would. Well, the thing is, I wish that they would come to us, like, because what we're trying to do is, you know, don't worry, sit down, we'll take care of you. You know, if they tell us at that moment, we try and make it right. We always try and make it right. Maybe we're not going to get it right, and this is just part of the industry. But we definitely do our best. When they've already left, and then they go to Google and just say, I don't like that we have to order from a kiosk now. And it's like, well, then you can order from, we want to explain that you don't have to just order from a kiosk.
Right.
It's difficult, because if it were, I don't like the food, I mean, okay. Okay, right. Not everybody's going to like us. But when it's something that we could have addressed and helped in the moment, that's hard for small businesses like ours or other mom and pop shops and taquerias and, you know, other restaurants that are popping up. And
that review is there, right? There's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, we respond.
Do you think people are just like, they don't realize how potentially hurtful this is?
I don't think they do.
Or do they not care?
I don't know. You know, in this age of you just go online and you just say whatever you want to say, pretty much. And there's, you know, it's we're at the mercy of everybody's opinion. Yeah. And it really, in a lot of times, it's opinion. Sometimes it's poor service or, you know, something wrong happens. And even then, though, I would love the opportunity to make it right. I think most businesses do. I think most businesses, if you came up and said, I don't like this change, you know,
You'd listen.
You listen, Paul. You know, I hope you'll give us a chance in the future. Yeah. We hope you'll think it. You know, there's still a home mercado here. We hope you'll still shop with us if you don't like the restaurant anymore. So definitely giving businesses a chance to make things right with you first is I strongly encourage that.
It would
I'm
be
speaking
nice.
On behalf of all restaurant and business owners here talk to the manager, talk to the staff, ask for an owner, leave your phone number. I've done that before. Told my managers, please get their number and I'll personally call them or email them.
So, nice. Yeah. But, I think people are too quick to fire off.
I think they are. And I will say, the majority of people are very supportive. They're loving the change. They're congratulating. They're pleased to see us growing and evolving. To me, that means we have intentions of sticking around a long time. If I would have kept letting things continue the way they were, they would have fallen apart eventually. And I don't know what would have happened. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think we could have sustained the way that we were.
Food costs are up.
Food costs are up.
Staff cost is up.
Labor is crazy. I mean, it's just reality. You know, it is. We did not make this decision lightly. We have been talking about it as a family, with my mom, with my dad. The whole family had input on whether or not we do it, how we do it, and like, okay, we're going to do it, but we're all on the same page here. We got to have each other's back. And we do, and we are, and all the staff is as well. So at the end of the day, I stand by what we did.
Yeah.
It's great. We added new things. We added a fryer, which we couldn't before because we can have
no room,
grease.
Right? No grease.
Well, splattering up in customer spaces kind of thing, and it's loud.
Now you're a kitchen.
Yeah, and so now we're a kitchen. We have a fryer, so you have flautas and fiesta fries and tacos dorados, and you know we added chimichangas, which is more of a Tex-Mex type food. So
fun,
you know. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's a fun churros.
I love
some dessert.
All right, I'm coming. I'm coming to check it
please
out.
Please do,
and I won't leave my thoughts on Google.
Don't you dare!
And elote season is right around the corner.
Season,
Melissa
yeah.
Silva, El Burrito Mercado in St. Paul. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA cleared and CE marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Russia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
Our guests today are two of the trio behind one of my absolute favorite St. Paul restaurants. The restaurant is called Chip's Clubhouse, and our guests are Tara Coleman and Gina Mangimelli. It's so nice to have you guys here. You both look surprised when I said it was one of my favorites. I've said it's one of my... This should not be a surprise.
Humbling. It's humbling.
Yeah.
You've been good to us.
You opened... when?
February.
I mean, this is the easy stuff. You guys were worried.
Gosh, it's all a blur. It is truly a blur.
I think it was February 2021.
Yes. Right. Sort of in the middle of things still, right?
Pre-vaccine, which was important.
Oh, interesting.
In the beginning.
Yeah. Were you nervous, Gina, when you were opening up?
Well, yeah, we only had three employees, me, Tim, and Tara.
This is true.
Because we didn't...
Tim Leary, who runs the bar program, longtime Twin Cities bartender. Great dude.
Yeah.
Simply
he's excellent. He's such a pro. Yeah.
And so you opened right on Snelling in St. Paul, right next to Tara, restaurant that you had opened up before, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hot Hands. So we were open for, I think we have, a year and a half on Chips? A year. Yeah. Yeah, we're so getting... Hot Hands opened, and then...
So you when did you open?
A year later, Chips did.
Yeah. We're February 2021. So when we opened, we didn't know that anyone was going to come, so we said, oh, well, I'll do the cooking, Tara will do the serving, and Tim will do the bartending.
Which, might I add, I don't have much serving experience, so...
And that, I mean, the first time I went there, it had that feel of, like, a couple of friends who decided to open the restaurant, but you guys are more than a couple of friends. I mean, the pedigree of the team here is pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, I think we have experience, yeah. We're more than a couple of friends who opened a restaurant because we were good at cooking, but we
Gina, tell your story. Like, what's your background?
So I went to college in Southern Indiana, Indiana University, thought I was going to be a lawyer. Turns out I did not like any of that. So I went to culinary school and then moved to Chicago and started working for Stephanie Izard, which is where I met Tara, who's won a bunch of James Beard's great Chicago cook.
She was like a reality TV sort of food TV kind of star.
An open Girl and the Goat,
Girl and
Duck,
the Goat.
Duck, Goat, Little Goat, The Goat Empire. And that's where we met.
And you both worked together in Chicago, Tara.
Mm-hmm. I was making milkshakes and Gina was on the sandwich station.
Yeah.
And back then, did you talk about opening a restaurant or
no,
what?
No. Never, no.
What, Tara, brought you back to St. Paul?
So my boyfriend is from St. Paul. So we met in Chicago, and then I was living and working in Chicago, working in the restaurants that Gina mentioned, which is where we met. It's been, I think, about 5 years since I've been here, been living here. So far, everything's working out. So that's hopefully it stays that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Chip's Clubhouse is the name of the restaurant. Hot Hands, which Tara mentioned, Hot Hands Pie and Biscuits. Terrific spot.
Great. We got you covered, yeah, and sweet treats.
Baking is sort of your passion?
Yeah, Yeah, I would say I love to eat baked goods, and I love to bake them as well. Yeah.
I would say she exists almost exclusively on baked goods.
Is that so?
I eat a lot of sugar.
She subsides.
Is this like a genetic benefit that you have? Because you're a very, like, I mean...
Well, she also lifts heavy.
Okay, I was going to say.
I guess baking, yeah. Like, baking
I don't know that
too.
I'm allowed to comment on people's appearances today, but like...
He's a strong guy.
You do not... You appear very strong... And not like you're fed on flour and butter and sugar.
But she's a very strong little hummingbird.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's a good, way to put it. Yeah.
It's all breakfast pastries. Yeah.
Well, it's a very, I mean, cooking too, I would say running a restaurant in general is very physical. Just a lot of heavy lifting, literally and figuratively.
You're always on your feet. You're always moving around. Yeah. Chips Clubhouse. Gina, how would you describe it to people?
I would say this is how I describe it in my mind. It's an upscale, like, Applebee's in my mind. It's like a neighborhood, locally owned Applebee's. We pull from all over the place when it comes to, like, I don't just serve American food or Asian food or whatever. We just kind of make whatever we love.
A little bit of everything, I would say.
And great cocktails.
Yeah.
Terry, you didn't look bothered by that description as an upscale Applebee's.
You know, it's...
I think a lot of people would be like, oh, don't say that.
Oh, is that bad?
I think it's good.
I've warmed up to Applebee's.
almost as much as Chili's.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about that. I think it's comforting. It's, you know, you can get a cheeseburger, you can get a bowl of ramen, you can get what else did we have?
I feel like we just make what we like to eat, which is cool. And the neighborhood seems to enjoy most of it.
It's
we try not to go too exotic.
It's very accessible, but everything has like a little bit of a twist where it makes it exciting.
Yeah, like we make broccoli, like, but a little bit better than you would make it at home, you know?
I mean, it's a lot better than I would make broccoli at home.
A little bit. It's just a half a head of broccoli, but it's, you know, it's a little special.
Yeah. Updated, like, comfort food, though. It's comfortable, but it is funny to look at a menu. And Gina, did you two develop the menu together, or how did you guys work this out?
Well, I think I made most of the food.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was just making stuff, bringing it over to Tara and being like, what do we
think? Is this
good? Yeah. And then we're still kind of at that point. Whenever I make something new for the chip savory menu, she's the first person that tastes it.
And you sign off.
I sign off,
And she does all of our pastry. Which currently is pie.
Which is pie.
Yeah.
Pie, right.
Speaking of pastries.
Oh, did you bring?
Yeah, I brought you some cookies. I almost forgot. I'm guarding them. See, like, I wanted to eat those.
Oh, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. All right. A few little sweet treats for you and the staff, if you're willing to share.
I'll have to consider this.
No peanut allergies, though, right?
No.
Yeah, there's... Okay,
so I have a rule when it comes to friends, and our guests are Gina... This sounds terrible, but my rule is that you can't have allergies if you want to be a friend of mine.
I like that rule.
Like, I'm sorry.
I'm dating someone who does not eat cilantro, who has the gene.
Oh,
and no. The soapy
she's perfect
gene?
In every other way.
I feel like
that is a big flaw, but...
That is a big flaw, but I could get past that. That's not that bad.
Because it's added at the end, it's easy to just, you know, take it off, so...
That's Gina Mangiamelli, Tara Coleman. They run Chips Clubhouse in St. Paul. Tara, what have you found? I mean, Chicago to St. Paul is like a pretty significant difference, I would think. What have you found in the dining public in St. Paul? What's different?
Oh, gosh.
So start with what's different.
All right. I got a few.
Okay.
St. Paul likes to eat very early. I think it's an early crowd.
Like how early?
Oh, I think if we were open at 4 p.m. at Chips, I think we'd have a nice little rush there.
We would be all in at 7:30 if we opened.
Oh, yeah, all in at 7:30. No, it's
getting a reservation at Chips at 8 p.m. often not a challenge.
No.
Not a challenge.
8 to 10 on the weekends.
St. Paul
St.
Paul eats early.
Yeah, we welcome those later reservations.
You just extended your hours to be open a little later.
On Friday and Saturdays, yes. But we're open till 10 on Fridays and Saturdays, but the rest of the nights we pack it in at 9.
And really, you're probably done at 8.
Ish, yeah.
Right?
It's a tough call because we want to feed people until the time it says on our door, But at a certain point, if we haven't sat somebody in 20 minutes, it's...
Is it families or is it just people like to eat early?
I wish both. I could predict the behavior of the diners, but I don't know.
It's like me trying to predict the behavior of our listeners. Like, you never quite know.
Yeah, you really don't. You really don't. You can
try. All right, so earlier.
Earlier, okay.
What surprised you about St. Paul?
I think as much as I heard that it was a very meat and potatoes kind of place, I mean, they really meet... It really is a meat and potatoes kind of place. I mean, also literally, like, the anything steak, you know, like the beef, like the just the staples kind of.
I have potatoes on anything.
We'll sell it. I mean,
vegetables are tough.
They're tough.
Veggies are tough.
You got to make them really good
meaty?
To sell them.
They have to be meaty.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also and then I tried a beautiful steak tartare prime tenderloin that I cut fresh every day. I made it with so much love and no one bought it. We ate so many steak tartare tacos for staff meal. And that was early on. And I think they've gotten slightly more adventurous, you know, when you build sort of a relationship with the clientele.
Yeah.
They trust you a little more.
But it has taken years, not the time that I originally thought. I think I opened with a little more of a adventurous menu.
They're not as adventurous as I would have hoped. But, you know, there is something to be said about those, you know, like the classic flavor combinations,
right.
You know, like they're classic because they taste good. Like, and with pie too, it's just like, I've tried some wacky things, but, you know, like chocolate and peanut butter is what the people want. Apple pie is what the people want.
Yes.
It's like,
and it's really
good. Cheeseburger with fries.
Your cheeseburger is delicious.
It tastes great. Eat them mainly after they've sat in the hot box for an hour on accident, you know, and they're very delicious.
It's still delicious.
That's a test of a good burger.
That is, yes. I highly recommend that test for any restaurant. Put your burger in the hot box for one hour.
Not recommended, but very common.
Not for guests.
Amongst our people.
Don't serve it to me. Chips Clubhouse is the focus here of DeRussia Eats today. Tara Coleman, Gina Mangiamelli, a couple of coworkers at a very prominent restaurant group in Chicago, ended up here in St. Paul with really a great restaurant. I hope you guys check it out. We'll continue with my number one complaint about Chips Clubhouse. Plus, Tara and Gina will share, and I'm sure you can guess. You can, well, maybe not.
I have an idea.
And we'll hear your top three favorite places to go visit in the Twin Cities. DeRussia Eats continues, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board and Liquor Boy here on CCO. DeRussia Eats continues here on CCO. Chips Clubhouse is the restaurant. Some of the team is with us here. Tara Coleman and Gina Mangiamelli with us. Tara, before the break, I said that I would share my number one complaint about Chips Clubhouse. And the restaurant is, first of all, it feels like a clubhouse. This is not the complaint. You go there, the staff is so warm and friendly and also a little jokey, you know, so it feels like you're in the in crowd, which I like. They treat you like a regular, even if it's your first time there. But the room is bathed in like this kind of reddish, orangish light. And so, which is fine, like I'm 48. The last time I was there, I did have to go back to my car and get my reading glasses. I'm an old man. It's fine. I didn't want to have my cell phone flashlight on.
We have reading glasses for that purpose at the house.
Which a lot of restaurants do, if you ask.
Our house reading glasses, yes.
Which are lovely, the house reading glasses. Why is your restaurant orange or red or whatever color it is? Because all my pictures of your food look disgusting.
Has a nice red tint to them.
I'm trying my best to tell people how great your restaurant is, and I cannot show any pictures of the food.
Well, I'll just start by saying everyone looks sexy in the dark, right?
Well,
nice red
fair.
Tint there.
Yes, yes.
I think a lot of it comes from, it's inspired by the restaurants that Gina used to manage in Chicago.
Yes.
I'll let you take it over from there.
Yeah. After I worked at the Boca Group with Girl and the Goat with Tara, I went on to join the culinary director team at Hog Salt, which is like Au Cheval, Green Street Smoked Meats, Bavette's, all these like big, great places.
So good, yeah.
But they have a very specific aesthetic, and I love them. So I wanted to make my restaurant feel like warm and dark and vibey, and I felt like there wasn't anything like that. And it sort of went in with our decor.
Yeah.
And we had such a problem with too, which is crazy to say, but too much light, natural light in the restaurant.
Oh, because you're on Snelling also. Yeah. Like, it's not like it's a beautiful, you know, look out the windows.
Yeah,
it's not very
much scenery happening.
So what, we want you to come
in. It feels good in there.
It does. And so we
want
you to come
in. It's just my pictures.
And have a warm, like, you feel, like you said, you feel like you're part of the club when you walk in, which you can't do if you don't.
But you guys, like, you, like, put these gels up there, right? Like, this was, like, a high school theater project.
High school theater project is a perfect way to describe it. We cut them out with scissors before I found out that you could buy them pre-cut online.
Yeah,
after
each one custom cut.
And
House cut.
Gels we found needed more and more. So when I cut the original amount for the ceiling, then we did it, turned it on, it didn't work, so we had to keep adding layers of gel, so it was a very long project to get it annoying as it currently is.
Those are also held up by magnets that we purchased I forget. Was it
Menards?
No, was it?
We
remember the
Axeman surplus?
Yeah. They had just a bucket of magnets.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. That's better.
Oh,
at least you're not using, like, wooden clothespins. That's what I,
We're a small business. We do what we can.
Chip's Clubhouse in St. Paul, they have a great patio, so important to bear that in mind as you think about place. Not great.
Well,
you're making
don't.
A face. You don't have
so
a patio.
So we had
anymore?
A patio when we opened because no one would eat inside.
Oh.
And so now what we have is a parking lot.
Yeah.
That
you
like
can
we
park
were talking,
at.
Yeah, like what we were talking about, the aesthetic inside of something we design with a lot of intent, and the parking lot patio didn't feel like
not quite
thoughtful.
Where you want it to be.
Yes.
Okay. So coming soon. So we're running out of time. Coming soon.
Yeah.
Three favorites. Let's start with you, Tara Coleman. Three places you like to visit.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm just going to go with the one that I go to the most. I love it. It's the Nook.
The Nook.
I love a good cheeseburger. The Mickey's Original is my go-to.
Great. Juicy Nookie.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
I also really enjoy Moochie's.
Moochie's. Terrific.
Love the pasta.
Yeah.
It's my go-to place when my family's in town.
Good. And number three?
Place. Number three.
Let's go to Gina.
Pizzeria Lola.
Pizzeria Lola. Very good. Gina. Three. Hit me.
Okay. I'm going to say Jones in the Park for a date night. It's such a lovely gem.
St. Paul classic.
I'm going to say Gus Gus. Mm. Hit up their Sunday brunch.
Good.
She stole my other two. I'm a Moochie's guy, too. It's
you
just the best.
It.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I love that place. So.
You two were awesome. This was really fun. And I love your restaurant, so I hope people go check it out.
Thank you. Thank you
for having us.
So fun. We have to welcome the people who are from Chicago who come to our
for
city.
Sure, yeah.
We embrace you. You don't have to be from here. Chip's Clubhouse, Tara Coleman, Gina Mangiamelli. Go check it out. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Audacy@audacy.com. Jason@audacy.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Audacy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.